Psalm 100 is a wonderful psalm. We're going to look at this for a few minutes here tonight. Psalm 100, or at least a starting point for tonight. Amen. Talking about serving the Lord with gladness. Serving the Lord with gladness. Amen. Here's what Psalm 100, this is a psalm of David. This is called a psalm of praise, a psalm of exaltation, glorifying God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. A lot of people have quoted that verse, especially if they found themselves in a predicament where the singers were real bad. And they would say, well, it says make a joyful noise. Doesn't have to sound pretty. Well, it's stretching it just a little bit out of context. And we'll explain that here in just a minute. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Now this psalm, along with many of the other psalms, were psalms of David. And some of those psalms were written by David before he ever became king. And before he was ever chosen to be king. When he was very young. Many of these psalms were written when he was just a shepherd boy. And he was out in the wilderness. And so his worship service consisted of him and the sheep. Out there in the wilderness. Beyond the sheep, he was just out there by himself. But David, you'll see all through his life that the focus of his life was he wanted worship to be restored. He wanted worship to be what God. That was the heart of David. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts, it describes David as a man who had a heart after God. He was pursuing the Lord. That was who David was. And that's how you remember him. And you remember him for his psalms and his singing, the sweet singer of Israel. He was a worshiper. Amen. Praise God. And this psalm, there are other psalms as well. He used that same phrase, the word glad or gladness, several times. Another place in Psalm 122, verse 1, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There was gladness in his heart whenever he had an opportunity to go to the house of the Lord. Now let's get back to that joyful noise there in Psalm 100. The word, the phrase there, it comes from a Hebrew word that means to shout out. It literally means to split the ears. It's like a sound of rejoicing. Amen. Make a joyful noise. It's like a festival, a celebration. Shout for joy. What people do when something really good happens in their life. Even the most shy and backward people sometimes, when things go really good for them, they can get a little bit loud. Amen. That's what the psalm is talking about here, where he says, make a joyful noise unto God, unto our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Lift up your voice in praises unto our God. You say, I don't really feel like it. It doesn't say when you feel like it. It says do it. The psalmist said, make a joyful noise. Actually, as I was going through each one of these words, and I love to do this when I go through a passage of scripture, is go through and look at the major words and find out what that word meant, what the Hebrew word was, and I can pronounce none of the Hebrew words, but it literally means work, to make, to create something,
to make a joyful noise, to put some effort into it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Put some energy into it. Amen. That is the call of God to all of us. If we are to serve the Lord with gladness. The word glad or gladness here in this psalm and in many other psalms, it comes from a word that means to brighten things up, to cheer things up, to make things glad or make others around you glad. You know that what can happen is it catches on whenever somebody in a church service comes into a meeting and they just lift up their voice and they just ignore what everybody else is doing and they're loud in their worship. Amen. And they lift up their voice and they're just full of joy and happiness in their heart. One of the reasons why that people don't serve the Lord with gladness is obvious. It's because there's something wrong with their heart. There is a problem. There's a joy that's missing. There's something, there's a quality in your life that's missing. And so you need to get that back. You need to restore that in your life so that when you come into the house of the Lord, or not only in the house of the Lord, but you can give praise and glory unto God whenever He works in your life and you see His handiwork in your behalf, you praise Him. Or you just praise Him for who He is and for how He has provided for you and how He works in your life every day. Amen. Serve the Lord with gladness. The verse says, come before His presence with singing. I found that word presence really interesting because it comes from a Hebrew word that means to turn the face. To turn the face. So when you come in to the house of the Lord, you may think, I don't know if God even knows where I'm at. Well, He does. He knows where you are and what's going on. But when you begin to glorify God and worship the Lord, you turn the face of God toward you. The face of the Lord. You get His attention in an even greater way when you come before His presence with singing, glorifying God. Amen. This is a world that's so full of negativity and trouble and problems. The thing about having trouble is that we seem to feel like that we're going to get comfort from talking a lot about our troubles. And we get into the habit. I know that there's some value in, you know, I guess maybe a therapeutic thing that takes place whenever you talk about your troubles, but it can go too far. It can get out of hand. Because more important than the problem that you're up against is our great God, who is the Lord over every situation. He is the Lord over your trouble and over your sickness and over your problem and your need, whatever that it might be. And because He is, we worship Him. We glorify Him. When you read on through this psalm, it describes that. We know that He is God. Know you that He is the Lord God. Know you that He is the Word. He is the Jehovah God. He's not like any other God. He is not like the God of those who serve and worship idols. He is the Lord Jehovah. He's worthy of our praises. It's He that made us. We know who He is and we know what He has done. That what sets Him apart is that He has the creative power. He has the power to create and to make something just from nothing, to speak it into existence. Only God can do that. Know ye that He's the Lord Jehovah. He's the creator of everything that exists. And that we are His people. We belong to Him. Amen. That ought to make you want to praise God. Amen. To serve the Lord with gladness. Because of that, we enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. We've just come through Thanksgiving season. Let me just mention a few things about this Thanksgiving. If you're having trouble with it, if you're having trouble with developing a spirit of gladness and joy in your life, beyond and in spite of all of the burdens and the troubles and the worries, you've got your share of them and I've got my share. Sometimes it seems like we have more than our share of problems and difficulties. But no matter what it is, no matter how bad your trouble or your circumstance is, as believers, Christians, who we know that what the Bible says, that we belong to Him. We are His. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. We belong to Him. And so because of that, He is not going to neglect you or forsake you. He hasn't forgotten you in your trouble. He knows right where you are. He created you and He wants you to come into His presence with thanksgiving. Glory to God. Praise unto our God. I mean, let's look at just a few ways that we can develop this in our life. First of all, we have to take a look at the past. Now, I don't want you to live in the past, and God doesn't want you to live in the past. You can do that. But you can reflect upon the past, and you can look at the past, at what God has done. Spurgeon said, look back and mark the hand of God in your life. Just take a look back and see the Lord in your life down through the years. I was reading, I get this little newsletter from missionaries, it slipped my mind. Paul, that used to be Hakes, the Hakes, David Hake. I get a newsletter, email newsletter from him every month, and I just got it today or yesterday. And they told how that when they were moving to a new mission station, this was about 1961, and Paul, or David rather, was just a young man at that time, but had been raised on the mission field there in South Africa. But he had his eyes set up on going into electronics and learning things about the technical and the electronics. And he had a real interest in that. And so he had bought some supplies and some tools and different things. And he had them stored. And when they moved to this new mission station, this new place, and that the very first night, the place which was a garage next to their house, that one of their workers, one of their national workers, had slept there. And because it was dark, had used a candle. And everything that was in that garage burnt completely up. And he was really sad because all of his electronic things were gone that he had accumulated, that he thought was a part of his future. But now he's looking back on that. All these years later, as he spent all the years of his life there in missionary work, and he realized that God allowed that to happen because He didn't want him to have plan B. He wanted him to follow plan A, and that was to do the call of God, to be a missionary. And God burnt plan B up and said, no, I don't want you to do that. Now, he was able to look back on that situation. At the present, when it happened, I'm sure that he was sad and frustrated because of the loss of this. But now when he looks back, he sees the hand of the Lord in that. You know, if you're willing to look back and see that all down through the days of your life, that God has been with you. He's been taking care of you. He's been working in your behalf. Psalm 103, verse 2, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. What are those benefits? Who forgiveth all thy iniquities? He's the source of your forgiveness. He has forgiven all of those things of your past. You may think, a lot of people are bogged down by their sins and the failures of their past, but if you committed that to the Lord, if you ask Him to forgive you, the blood of Jesus Christ, He's forgiven you of all that, and all that's gone. It's washed away. He forgives all your iniquities. Healeth all thy diseases. How many of you can, over the days of your life, that you have experienced the help of the Lord in your physical body, and the Lord has helped you, healed you. Amen. Who has healed your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. Some of these things you don't even know, and we probably won't know until we're in eternity, how close we were to a tragic accident. How close that we were from something horrible happening to you or to your family or to people that you care about. But the Lord was there redeeming your life from destruction, saving you from heartache, saving you from your life from being taken and destroyed, or for other heartache and destruction to come your way. The psalmist just gives us a few reasons here to look back. That he's forgiven us. He's heals all your diseases. He's redeemed your life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. He has placed in your life all of these wonderful things and has blessed you and has provided for you his mercies and his love. Praise God. Amen. We sing that song, Count Your Many Blessings. Name them one by one. Don't live in the past, but reflect on the past pretty often. And just see the hand of God in all my life I see. Amen. The Lord has been there. He has provided for you. He has taken care of you. And this can change your spirit. It can change your attitude. Another thing that you can do is change your perspective. That's really the difference between a positive person and a negative person. Is perspective. Because you can look at your situation through really perspective. That word, it's describing something that you look through. It's looking through something like you would look through a telescope or a lens of some sort. The perspective is that you're looking through something and you see your life through the lens of God's love and faithfulness and the fact that He's never left you, He's never forsaken you, He's always with you. When you're looking at your life situation that you're in that situation, from that perspective, then you can see the faithfulness of the Lord. Look at your life and change your perspective. Let me tell you what, if you get around someone that is negative all the time, they're always looking at it, you know, from that negative perspective. It is so infectious. It is a spirit that has such it does such damage. The best thing to do is just start backing off and get as far away from that spirit as you can. Because if you're not careful, you're gonna get overwhelmed by it. You're going to be taken in by that perspective. That's why, as Sister Belinda said tonight, we have the promises of God. And we look through the lens of the promises of God. That's why we read the Word and we study the Word of God. Because we look at our life from God's point of view and God's perspective. And that gives us a faith to understand that God's at work. No matter what it is that you're going through. I was thinking about situations like the loss of Sister Naomi and Sister Ruby. You talk about sad now. That's hard to get over. That's tough. The family it's tough. And for our church, man, it's so hard. You're like me. I miss them. I really miss them. And I think about it probably every day and sometimes several times a day. I think about these saints of God that have just recently went to heaven and left us. Now, it can either be something that brings sadness and pushes you down and destroys you, or you can have a different perspective on it. You can say, praise God, Sister Naomi is she doesn't have that little shriveled up hand anymore that she asked me to pray for every time I saw her. She isn't feeble and unable to walk now. She's in the presence of God and she's rejoicing in that wonderful place. Amen. She's free of all those limitations. Amen. And so for the family, even like of Sister Naomi or Sister Ruby, the family can be so thankful that they have had these examples in their family all those many years. 87 years, 89 years. It's all in your perspective. You have to see it from that point of view, because there are some of you here in this service that you lost one of your parents or both of your parents many years before they were 87 or 89. You lost your loved one maybe many years before that. When you look at it from that perspective, then gratefulness comes into your heart because you're so thankful that God has blessed you with them all of these years. Perspective is everything. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Change your perspective. Look at your life from God's perspective. Point of view. And you know, in order to do that, you have to be lifted up. You have to be exalted. You have to be with Him in the presence of God to be able to look at life situations from God's point of view. Amen. We need to do that. It causes gratefulness to come into your heart when you look at your life situation compared to the lives of others. I've got a lot of Bibles, and I've been thinking about, there's another Bible I think I want to get for Christmas to add to the collection. And that's a little humorous. Just think about the fact that a great percentage of the world has never held a Bible in their hand. Not thousands, millions of people. They never had the Bible. Multiplied millions of people have never one time heard the name of Jesus. Not one time. But you're privileged several times a week or every day to read your Bible. Every day to enter the presence of the Lord. To know the Lord. It's all in perspective when you look at your life and say, things aren't going all that good for me. I've got trouble. I've got problems. And the devil loves it when you begin to do that, especially as a Christian. He loves it when Christians get so down and out and so defeated. And so that's all a part of his work. He wants to do that to you. Amen. You can look at the United States of America and say, boy, we're rough. We're in rough shape. We're going down the tubes. Things are terrible. And they're not too bright in many respects. But you know what? 500 million people wake up every day in a war-torn country. Millions, multiplied millions of people have never known anything except the fear of violence every day of their life. And so we look at America and we say, well, things aren't going all the way we want them. But thank God for America. Thank God for freedoms. Thank God for the blessing that we have. Do you know that if you have a little money, just a little money in your pocket, just a small amount, that you are in the top 8% of the wealthiest people of the world? If you know Jesus Christ, you're part of a very small percentage of people in this world who know the Lord. But you're blessed. Change your perspective. Change it. Only the Lord can help you do that. So that you can serve the Lord with gladness. It'll change everything about the way that you're looking at your life. One more suggestion, and that is, learn the practice of praising God every day. Amen. You're commanded in the Word of God to do that. Psalm 69, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hooves. Just praise to God. It was better than all of those sacrifices. Just a sacrifice of your lips and of your life of praise unto God. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now we know that we come and we do public worship and publicly we sing and publicly we praise the Lord. But the writer here is talking about making melody in your heart to God. Amen. Just a song in your heart. The joy of the Lord. Don't ridicule people if they sing or if they whistle or if they hum. My wife is on to me all the time. You hum all the time. What are you humming right now? So I had to find some scriptures to defend what I do. Amen. Amen. That there needs to be a song in your heart unto the Lord and make melody in your heart to God. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you do that? Can you give thanks unto God for all things? Amen. It takes a person of faith to do that. Amen. It takes real courage to do that in the midst of your sorrow and your trouble. But God can change your perspective. And as you every day just practice praising God every day. Amen. It may be, you know, a difficult thing to do in your trouble, in your sorrow, your situation that you're in right now. But if you'll learn the practice when you start your day tomorrow, thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I was walking down here to the prayer meeting this morning. It was absolutely freezing. Literally, 30 degrees. The snow was flying. And miserable, cold. The bed was so much more inviting. But usually when I come in to pray, that's how I start. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me this day. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me strength to start a new day. Amen. Amen. Start praising God. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would praise God. Serving the Lord with gladness. With gladness that you literally turn the face of God your way whenever you are a worshiper. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have had the experience of being in a Romanian church that the top of the church had been bulldozed down. And so we had the service in the basement level of the building. The building couldn't have been very stable after the whole top of it had been knocked down. But as we went down those steps, and the room was so filled with people, and it was so hot in the middle of the winter time, and their heater was all those bodies that were in there, crammed in there. It got us up to a little place at the front. It was myself and Brother Huff and Brother Jerry back. And it was so warm in there from all those bodies that were in there worshiping God, in spite of the fact that their church had been knocked down. I had to take my coat off. Most everywhere we went, we left our coats on in restaurants and everywhere because they didn't have heat. Well, they had heat there because it was people praising God, people worshiping God. Amen. And I'll tell you, in that experience, I'll never forget what it was like to be in a place that was so humble and the need was so great, but the people were so fervent in their worship. Praise God. Hallelujah. In one place we went to, we literally had to climb into the baptistry to have a place to preach. The people were all over you. They were on the platform and you just were stuck. And so we had to mic our way around and get into the baptistry because people were there wanting to worship God. Amen. It's a shame that we have 450 seats here on the floor level of this sanctuary right now. It ought to be filled with worshipers. Amen. My prayer, Lord, fill it up with people who are hungry for God. People who love the Lord. And that can happen when people come in and they see you and me serving the Lord with gladness. Amen. If they see you downcast and hopeless and not worshiping, not responding, not singing, not entering in, and they see that, they'll say, I don't want any part of that. I'm already sad and unhappy. I don't need more of that. Amen. Serve the Lord with gladness. Let's stand together. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Could we, everybody in this building, take a moment right now and just give praise and glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we can lift up our voice to praise you. Great is your faithfulness. Great are your ways, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, because you have saved us and you have delivered us. And Lord, you've forgiven all our iniquities. You've healed our diseases. Oh, Lord, you have moved in our lives in so many wonderful ways. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done in the past. And now we can look to that. We don't want to forget all the wonderful benefits that are ours, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord, this very service. Help us, Lord, to change our perspective. To see where we are. To see how blessed that we are. And oh, Lord, to thank God for the ways that he has provided for us. Lord, change our perspective on life. And Lord, and help us to develop the everyday practice of praising you. Of glorifying your name. Of lifting up your name, oh Lord. Because you have saved us. You have ministered to us. You have worked in our lives. And we thank you for that. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.